T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
On the left hash, it's Stafford to the shotgun. Gets the shotgun snap, looking left, throwing left. OBJ left, got corner, leaping up, pulls it down, feet down, touchdown! Odell Beckham Jr., the jump ball, puts 6 on the board, and the Rams take the early lead.
Yeah, that's exactly why they brought him here, to make big plays for them. Just a one-on-one fade, good patience.
4:12, time to get to one of the best spots in Pittsburgh. Archie's 80 Cent Wings, the Paul Zeiss Grilled Cheese Sandwich, a place where West Virginia fans go to watch games. So Archie's always asking Amanda to stop by. Did you know that?
I do actually see those interactions on public Twitter. And
as opposed to private Twitter?
Well, no, I see him tweeting her.
Oh.
He's asking her in public. He's, you know what he's doing? He's trying to get the Andrew bump there too.
No, he's not. It's all about Amanda. I'm not a West Virginia guy.
So wait, when you both show up there, even though Archie's has had a
Amanda.
Relationship with the station
it's
for a long time.
It's all about Amanda.
Hey, Amanda, how you doing? And he sloughs you off to the side.
Hey, he doesn't. There's no slough.
Go eat some wings. Hi, how are you? Good to see you. Eat
zero,
the Paul Zeiss grilled cheese.
Zero slough.
I'm not saying he's being a bad host. I'm saying he's bumping you out to the side, saying, here, beer, wings.
She's royalty in there, yeah, for him.
Do you own any West Virginia jerseys?
I do. Not jerseys, but I have stuff. I have garb.
You know whose jersey I would wear from there? Mike Gansey.
Then he could wear a t-shirt underneath
yes.
it?
Yes.
And he was tough as nails. I liked him.
I enjoyed watching him.
We will talk to a true believer in about 15 minutes. Mike Florio thought the Steelers were going to beat the Chiefs.
Yes, he did.
Pro Football Talk. Now what? Mike got that one wrong. There are some...
Not a very nice way to preview our guest.
There are some interesting reports out there about the Steelers offseason, and we'll ask Mike to tackle some of those questions, including their next quarterback, Juju Smith-Schuster, the coordinators, Tomlin, all that with one of the most connected guys in sports, someone you'll see on Sunday Night Football this week. Another guy you'll see in the playoffs is Matt Stafford, Chris. Mm-hmm. He won his first playoff game, although the Rams really didn't ask him to do anything. He only threw it 17 times, a career low. And now he's got to go into the belly of the beast and take on Tom Brady on Sunday with that big, giant pirate ship in the background there. Can you get tickets? Can you sit in the pirate ship for a game? Is that just like a stand behind this velvet rope and take pictures of it? Or is that a fan experience at a Bucks
like
game?
You go
you know?
Like into the interior of it? And there
well,
are
just
seats?
Like in Jacksonville, people watch games from the pool. You're in
sure.
the pool at the Jags game.
Yeah.
Can you watch the game? Like, I'm trying to think, are there ever fans in the pirate ship when they show it?
I think there
Bucks
are fans
game.
Maybe on top of it, but I don't think you can go like into it. Like you go inside the
in
green
the crow's
monster.
Nest. There's like the green monster seats at Fenway. You can be on the pirate ship crow nest. Do you know, Donnie?
Well, I looked it up real quick, and it says that fans can arrange to sit on the pirate ship during games. It doesn't say how though.
I'm looking at it here. Can you sit in it? The Buccaneer Cove houses the pirate ship. Fans can arrange to sit on it, yes, during games, and that I assume it's like the party area, right? It's got to be like a little in-demand spot. There's some tables. You probably get food brought up. That has to be the primo seating there.
Yeah.
For sure.
The Rams got Stafford because they thought he would get them
missing
back to
piece.
The Super Bowl. Missing piece, exactly. We had Jared Goff. He sucked. Even
we got,
though he was
we somehow
pick.
Got to the Super Bowl with him, but now we'll win him with
yep.
Stafford.
How many first-round picks did the Rams give up in that deal?
Two? Goff. It was
get, is that it?
It was get Goff out of there, give two first-rounders for Matthew Stafford, a guy that went number one overall, and...
Can I ask you if you think that this next statement is plausible?
No.
I might even bring this up to... Okay. You want to just continue to talk about meatloaf instead?
I mean, it's been working so far.
How many times a week does Alex make meatloaf?
I make meatloaf in the house.
Well, congratulations on all your kitchen success.
Once every 2 weeks.
Do you bake the ketchup right in?
I don't even top it with ketchup sometimes. Because if you know how to make it, you don't need the ketchup.
Now you're speaking my language, Malzi.
Anyway, what did you want to ask me? I'm sorry, that was rude of me.
Tell me if you think this is plausible.
Okay.
Everybody is saying right now that Aaron Rodgers will be back in Green Bay. So stop talking about an Aaron Rodgers trade. Not only is it irrational and crazy to think the Steelers would pull off a trade like that, but it's now become hogwash to even think that Aaron Rodgers is going to leave the Packers. Right? Don't you think that's kind of where people are at
people
right now?
People are heading, the longer they go now, if they win this game and if they win the NFC Championship game, I think there's a prevailing sentiment that is that they will have patched things up sufficiently.
Right now, do you think Aaron Rodgers will leave Green Bay this second?
Me?
Yes.
You know what I actually do? You know why?
You do?
I do for this reason only. He is such an odd duck, and he marches very much to the beat of his own drum, and he's been very kind of persnickety about this whole thing, that I think even if things are great there, he's just going to say, I want to do something else. I think he's wired that way.
You think he's already made his mind up on that?
I think in a lot of ways, yes, he has.
That he negotiated a settlement with them to get out of his contract, and that's what he wants?
Yeah.
Okay. Because he's really gone above and beyond lately to be like, it's better than it's ever been here. I love Green Bay.
But you would agree that he's an unusual guy.
Yes.
You cannot take him at face value, because one of the things every single analyst, whether they like him or not, says about him, people who cover the league, is remarkably intelligent, frightfully intelligent. I think a guy like that has his mind made up, and he's willing to play manipulative little games, might not even tell the Packers what he really thinks.
Because I was going to ask you, if the Packers lose,
yeah,
I think people will change their mind. If they get beat by the Niners and they're one and done in the playoffs, then I think that's a scenario in which it's more likely than not that he's gone. So then I think everybody that needs a quarterback, including the Steelers, is back to this. What would we give up to get him? What value do we put on Aaron Rodgers? I mean, you can say all you want about how the Steelers don't want to do it or they won't do it, but if they find out he's available, they at least have to sit down and do their due diligence and be like, if Aaron Rodgers' agent called us and said he wants to play in Pittsburgh, what do? Just hang up on the friggin' guy? You can't do that.
No, you answer that phone call and you talk
right?
about it. Yep.
I mean, that... like,
well, because he hasn't shown any... Dude, he hasn't shown a single sign of being his age right now.
For whatever reason, I feel like Steelers fans... And I can't quite tell if it's because they think that the Steelers are set in their ways or if it's the... way crazier thing for me, which is Steelers fans just don't want the guy.
Didn't we have Ed tell us he would only have been worth one more win than Ben? Was that Ed or somebody else?
Yeah, and no, that was Ed, and I don't think that is a standalone opinion. I think a lot of Steelers fans are like, I'd rather have a good left guard than have Aaron Rodgers on my team next year.
I'd rather fix my
defensive line than have the back-to-back MVP award winner.
I think I said to start the show, I think I'm being consistent here, that I would actually like, if it's Jimmy Garoppolo you're trying to bring in here, bolster the lines, build up the team with all that free agent money you're saving, and go from there and try to find a quarterback in 23 maybe in the draft. If it's Aaron Rodgers, all that, chuck it out the window. You want to know what he did after his 2-interception game to start the season? You aware of what the actual honest-to-God numbers are?
I think he threw 2 interceptions the rest of the season.
He did 37 touchdowns and 2 picks.
I mean,
his
last
7 games, 20 touchdowns, no picks.
That, like, the Steelers just, like, declaring themselves out of the Aaron Rodgers sweepstakes before the game even starts. Like, saying, I'm not going to sit down to play this game of poker. I just don't feel like it. I don't have enough money.
It's not turning over every stone.
That would have been like if the Buccaneers said, you know what, Tom Brady, go pound salt. We don't need you, buddy. We'll find a cheaper. We'll go fix our offensive line before we bring you here.
Do you remember how many teams were reported to be seriously interested in Brady? It was the Bucs, maybe the Titans you were hearing. I think the Bears got mentioned in there maybe.
Well, he said one team he was like, you're going to go with that guy over me, which right. I think was San Francisco and Garoppolo, actually.
I believe it was, yes. But so, but no, you remember what I was saying. That
I love that Brady just...
Petty.
He loves when the chip on the shoulder...
Correct.
Can, like, when it reveals itself, he...
Do you think he thinks he's better looking than Garoppolo?
Yes, I do.
See, I think if you didn't know who they were, if Jimmy G and Tom Brady walk into a bar, Jimmy G is getting sought after first.
You think?
Yes. You don't know anything about, like, everybody in the bar knows nothing about them, just these two guys.
That's impossible. Everybody knows Brady.
You have to play along that way, hypothetically.
Of all the remaining quarterbacks in the playoffs, who would you most want to go have a beer with?
Burrow, I think. I think it's Burrow. Because he did the cigar celebration. He looks like he enjoys
Donnie?
Being Joe Burrow. There's a lot.
I got to think about this for a sec.
Okay. 1 second.
Donnie's got to think about this for 10 seconds. Go. Who would you go? You got big Josh Allen from the middle of nowhere. You got Mahomes. He's going to put ketchup in his beer. You got Rodgers, who looks like he's, you know, probably had too many beers sometimes.
I think my answer might surprise you. I'd go Josh Allen.
I think that's who I would go with. The moment you said Josh Allen, that kind of triggered that for me.
I'm going Burrow.
I'd probably go Burrow second, and then...
Who would you least want to have a beer with of the remaining quarterbacks?
Tannehill seems like he's about as exciting as a...
But isn't the whole thing
old
with
episode
him?
Of the show, Third Rock from the Sun.
Why did you go with that one, French Stewart?
I don't know. That show I always thought was so bad.
Yeah, well, didn't French Stewart do the voice there? You know, his...
And
I can't
he always kept
it.
His eyes closed.
Right. John Lithgow, though, good actor.
What else was he in? Dexter?
Dexter. He was the best villain probably in Dexter history.
Man, that show really fell off the...
Apparently the reboot. Apparently the reboot is awesome.
According to
I
who?
Haven't seen. Like, everybody I know that liked the original show said if they had just done... Like, that they redeemed how bad the
I
ending was.
I like the original show, and I haven't even made an effort to try to watch it.
I mean, same. So okay. I don't know what that says about me.
It says that Dexter didn't, at the end, knock your socks off.
Yeah, but apparently I need to go watch this. Anyway, on Rodgers here, real quick, you do throw everything out the window for him, like all this rebuilding nonsense.
Yep.
Like, I don't know if... when you say it's like almost scary to you that Steelers fans say they'd rather have a left guard, I kind of have to share that sentiment. Like, do people... I know you don't necessarily have time to watch every game in the NFL. We do this for a living, and it's still hard to even watch, like, the condensed games because it still takes hours to do.
Well, speak for yourself, Malsy.
I mean, the games literally take hours to watch. Anyway, do people, like, not understand here how good he is? They'll see him in a playoff game here, and maybe he'll win, maybe he'll lose. He's had some bad playoff luck. He's had some not great performances. Game to game, that guy is astonishing. It was easy to understand, in a way, how Brady didn't have a huge market because people could just say, this guy is slow. You have to have a good infrastructure around him.
Yep.
He's in his 40s. Rodgers looks like he did 10 years ago.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
You know, one of the things I like about having done this show long enough is that our listeners sometimes do the job for us. Like, they figure out stuff like, hey, have you seen this? You might want to talk about it.
Oh, yeah.
I love that.
I'm a big fan of that.
You know, on Twitter, they'll say, hey, have you seen this link? Have you seen this tweet, et cetera?
Happened today already. The reporter from West Virginia who got hit by the car. We said, Donnie Football, be a great match. A listener immediately, hey, I know her. She's already got a boyfriend. Sorry, guys.
Mm-hmm. But it's not married. So she's not technically off the market.
That's not really the point here, Pony. I know you're still going for that part of it, but the point is...
Someone texted us about 20 minutes ago and said, Did you see what Jerry Dulac had to say today about Matt Canada? Apparently, Dulac is still of the belief that Art Rooney could step in and tell Tomlin, too bad, you're firing him. And he's using the Arians precedent from 10 years ago.
Is this in Jerry's chat?
Yep. Multiple times, according to this listener, Dulac said in that text, or that chat, excuse me, Rooney could step in. No one more plugged in than Mike Florio, Pro Football Talk, Football Night in America. Mike, would that stun you if Art Rooney said, sorry, Mike, I'm telling you what to do, Matt Canada's one and done as offensive coordinator?
It wouldn't stun me at all. I think Art Rooney is a lot more involved in the management of the team than most people realize. He's not as open about it and as flamboyant about it as Jerry Jones would be, but I think that Art Rooney II is extremely involved and I think makes a lot of the decisions, whether it's the retirement of Bruce Arians from a decade ago, whether it's the hiring of Todd Haley, who came in to replace Arians. I think a lot of those decisions are either made or ultimately approved by or disapproved by Art Rooney. And, hey, that's the prerogative of being the owner of the team. You get to make those decisions if you want to.
Mike, we could base our opinion of him as a football man maybe on some of the moves you just talked about, but does he have the reputation as for being as football savvy as Dan Rooney did?
Well, look, the ultimate test is the pelts on the wall. However, the team continues to be extremely successful relative to all other teams. We don't see the Steelers have the same valleys that most franchises inevitably experience. They've been contenders for all these years. You know, to have three coaches since 1969, one of the reasons you're able to pull that off is the team's pretty damn good year in and year out. But at some point, yeah, Art II needs to get his own Super Bowl trophy that his team put together. And, you know, it's funny, the Maras are like this too. It's kind of a low-key, much more involved than anyone realizes in the team, the opposite of Jerry Jones, but still very involved. It's the family business. It's not like it's some hobby like it is for Stephen Ross in Miami, who doesn't even live there and just barnstorms in for games. This is something that Art Rooney is working every single day, and it's the prerogative of the owner to do it. But yeah, it would be nice for Art, and I'm sure he'd love to do it. I mean, he wants to win the Super Bowl every year, and I think when he says it, he means it. A lot of owners say it just because they know it sells tickets, and you have to say it. I think he means it, and once he gets his Super Bowl or two, then, yeah, it helps complete the set that the family's put together over the years.
Mike, would you almost expect it then? I mean, the offense was so putrid, and it did better when Roethlisberger went off script and kind of improvised. Do you almost anticipate that Rooney is going to tell Tomlin to get rid of Canada?
I think the challenge with evaluating the 2021 season is that the team was basically a Frankenstein monster of all sorts of different parts. And I don't know if you guys have talked about this, if you've heard this. I know from, you know, the grapevine that I'm kind of generally plugged into, they got thrown for a loop when Ben Roethlisberger agreed to come back at $4 million less than he was supposed to make. I think that they were hoping they were making him an offer that he wouldn't accept so they could move on. The fact that they made the playoffs is amazing under the circumstances. And I give Ben Roethlisberger and the coaching staff credit for recognizing that it's not 2011 anymore, that he can't run away from pressure the way they used to, that he had a much more limited window to get rid of the football. And he adapted because we saw what was happening earlier in the year when he would try to run away from pressure. It was like a Chevy Chase pratfall from the original days of SNL. It was not good. And they operated within that. That's one thing that I think Mike Tomlin is very underrated about, getting his team to color within the lines. Wherever the lines are, he figures out how to get his team to color within those lines, and that's what they did. But I don't think they expected to be in that situation. Now, I don't know who the quarterback would have been, and I think they're in a much better position this year if they want to be selective and coy and sit back and wait for a veteran to realize, hey, life could be pretty good for me as the quarterback of the Steelers. So, you know, anytime you get a new coordinator, you're starting from scratch, you're asking for trouble, you've got new terminology, you've got all kinds of things. And I think it makes sense to consider giving this current offense and this coordinator another year where maybe you get a quarterback who's better suited to run it. You have guys who are more comfortable with it come next year. and you ultimately have a quarterback who is more physically capable than Ben Roethlisberger was in the last year of his career.
Mike, if Art Rooney, though, to go back to this, because now what you said just opened my eyes a little bit, if you think that that might have been a situation where they were making him an offer they hoped he'd refuse and they were thrown for a loop when he didn't, Roethlisberger, if Art Rooney does have maybe more sway than the public would otherwise think, why did he make him an offer he thought he would refuse in the first place? Just say we're cutting the cord here. That's it.
Well, because it becomes, I think, a political reality of running a football team in a city where there was a certain amount of affection for Ben Roethlisberger. And it's amazing how things changed from 2010 until now. I vividly recall listening to the shows in Pittsburgh at the time of the suspension and people calling in with every potential grievance they had about they ran into Ben Roethlisberger at the Subway store and he was rude to them or whatever.
Yep.
He really did a good job of securing redemption for himself. And I think at the end of the day, the idea of cutting the cord affirmatively on Ben Roethlisberger is something that Art Rooney thought the fan base wouldn't take kindly to, especially because what would have happened? The entirety of his last year with the Steelers would have gone without the fans being able to go watch him play. So if nothing else, there was a sense, I believe, that there's got to be an opportunity for him to have that one last year where they can come watch the play. So we're not going to make him an insulting offer where it's clear that we're the ones who said go away. If he chooses to go away, fine. But we're not going to be the ones that make an offer that is so low there's no way he's going to accept it. Again, I don't know if that's true, but I do know that the people that I talk to, it's almost become kind of a given that they were hoping at a certain level that he would say, no, thank you, I'm just going to walk away.
Mike Florio, Pro Football Talk. Okay, Mike, where do you think their starting quarterback in 2022 comes from?
Well, the world has changed when it comes to veteran quarterbacks in the NFL. And it started 2 years ago with Tom Brady going to Tampa. And for a variety of reasons, we've seen movement of veteran quarterbacks like never before. It used to be if you had a veteran quarterback who was good enough to do the job, you never let go of him because there was no guarantee you were going to find anybody better. Now you see teams willing to cut the cord on a veteran in the hopes of finding someone better or someone different or whatever the case may be. There's a much greater willingness by the teams to look around, and there's a willingness by some of the veteran quarterbacks to try to force their way out of a situation. Tom Brady forces his way to free agency. Carson Wentz forces his way out of Philadelphia via trade. Both Russell Wilson and Aaron Rodgers tried last year to get out of their arrangements. So I think the Steelers are in a position where with the coaching, with the organization, with the fan base, with Najee Harris, with the receivers. Now, yeah, the offensive line needs to get better. The defense is so good. I think that the best play is just kind of sit back and wait for the phone to ring and wait for the conversations to happen, those conversations that never occurred, five levels down, to start to gauge interest as to who wants to come play for Mike Tomlin and the Steelers. You know, the video of Aaron Rodgers and Mike Tomlin sharing glances when they played this year. If I'm a veteran quarterback and I'm looking for a better place to play, a place where I think I got a better chance to win, Pittsburgh's on my short list. And I think if the Steelers play it the right way, not only do they get somebody who's going to make them much better, but maybe they can do it under terms that are extremely favorable financially, because maybe you could get somebody to take less money so they can go out and upgrade along the offensive line, for example. So I think they're in a very good position. There's not going to be any clarity, at least for now. Step one is let's see who ends up coaching where and who the coordinators are where. But then once that quarterback carousel starts to spin, they could end up coming out of it with a major upgrade over their quarterback room in 2021.
Oh, that is really music to my ears.
How major, Mike? Like, how major are we talking here, do you think? I know there's a lot of moving parts you just described, but Pony's ears just perked up, like his eyebrows might have disappeared.
Well, because Steelers media keeps trying to tell us it's Mason Rudolph next year, Mike, and I'm almost having a heart attack over that.
I'll hit myself in the head with my own helmet if it's Mason Rudolph next year. I mean, my goodness. Have we not seen enough?
Yes.
What more do we need to see? All due respect to Mason Rudolph, and I know whenever you say that, it's too late to avoid the insult. Have we not seen enough to know that Mason Rudolph is not the guy around whom you build? He's not even the guy who should be your backup. My guess is they were hoping that Dwayne Haskins would show them enough this year that they could make him number two and make him the guy who would have been the guy to take over for Ben Roethlisberger, if the explanation is, hey, this guy really was a first-round talent. It was just a dysfunctional, toxic mess for him in Washington, and he didn't get a chance to develop. But he didn't step up. It can't be Mason Rudolph. It can't. And look, hey, this is the time of year when the BS is on overdrive, and what happens is the team pushes to those who cover it. It's Mason Rudolph. For example, and I'm not saying this is happening, but I've been doing this 20-plus years now. You know, whether it's the Browns pushing to the media that Baker Mayfield's our guy next year, or the Eagles saying with a straight face, Jalen Hurts is our guy next year. You know, anybody who doesn't have a short list, high-end franchise quarterback is wise to consider their options. So to the extent that the Steelers can bait the hook on the notion that they're sticking with Mason Rudolph, that allows them to enter this process from a position of strength because they don't come off as desperate to find that upgrade that is going to thrust them even deeper into contention. And hey, if you watched garbage time of the game on Sunday night, and I'm sure that most Steelers fans probably had thrown a shoe at the TV by then, Chris Collinsworth was saying some stuff in the second half that sounded like he knows something more than what he was letting on about what's going to happen. I don't know whether that means Aaron Rodgers. I don't know whether that means Russell Wilson. I don't know if that means Deshaun Watson, for crying out loud. But I think that the Steelers are in a prime position to get one of these veteran quarterbacks looking for a better spot, because when you look around the league, where are the good spots? I don't think Aaron Rodgers should leave the NFC North. He can dominate that division for as long as he's able to play. Why would you leave there and jump to the AFC North or the AFC West? But still, when you start looking at the teams that are out there, there isn't a long list of places where you could start checking boxes and saying, you know what, I could do pretty well there. And I'd have the Steelers at or near the top of the list of the place where a veteran quarterback could come and really make some noise late in his career.
If Rodgers and Green Bay win the Super Bowl, do you think that patches things up enough that he stays, Mike?
Well, I've got all sorts of theories on Rodgers. I don't know if he was ever serious about leaving. I think that he is so... And it's amazing that he gravitated toward a competitive sport where half the people are going to hate you no matter what. He is so intent on not becoming a villain in Green Bay and not exiting the way that Brett Favre did. I can't imagine him ever cutting the cord with the fan base and with the locker room and with the coaching staff. And you know what? He made his point this year. Whatever he did, however he played it out, he got the attention of the front office. And I think they fully appreciate him right now. And I think he stays if they do the right thing and offer him a contract that pays him dramatically more than $33.5 million a year, which is exactly the same that Jared Goff is getting in Detroit. If they come to him early and they make him an offer that is obvious that they value him, that they appreciate him, that they want him to finish his career, that basically makes up for drafting Jordan Love and makes Jordan Love irrelevant, then I think he'll stay. And I do think a lot of what he does is calculated. He likes to mess with people. He likes to be the center of attention. And I think ultimately he does not want to be a villain in Green Bay.
Mike Florio, Pro Football Talk, who, by the way, was the most popular man on this show last week because you picked the Steelers to win. And so many of our fans were like, hey, Mike Florio knows what he's talking about. The Steelers can actually pull this off. So, Mike, you're already in the good graces of our listeners. So why don't you tell them right now where they can get your new book that's out in a couple of months, Mike?
All right, let me say this. I was feeling pretty damn good, too. When T.J. Watt scored that touchdown,
yep.
I was feeling pretty good because that's how it was going to happen. I didn't consider that the Chiefs were going to find the gas pedal and just put it to the floor and score 42 points. Other than that, I really felt like I was onto something. Playmakers comes out March 15th to look at the last 20 years in the National Football League with a long list of essays, short, digestible chunks based on stories that have happened, things that have occurred over the past 20 years, that when you read about it and when we reflect on it, we learn something about how the NFL operates, where its flaws are, where its strengths are, and where its future lies. Comes out March 15, available for pre-order now, wherever you buy your books, online, wherever. You can pre-order it, and you'll have it in your mailbox on March 15. And I appreciate you guys.
Mark, Mike, are we high enough on the Mike Florio media power rankings? Or maybe Chris and I could get an advanced copy of this book.
My birthday
is that
within,
possible?
My birthday is within a couple days of that release date, Mike.
If I recall correctly, the publisher recently sent me a list of all the people in the media who are getting one. And I think I remember scratching your names off of it. I
let's
think
go.
I remember doing that.
Let's go, Mike.
I have to go back and check. Now, I think you'll be getting one. It's amazing to me how many of them they're sending out. It's like, I wanted to say, I think some of these people would probably buy it. Like, why are we giving it away?
Fair.
But hey, if they want to print them up and send them out, more power to them.
Mike, thank you so much for joining us. You always give us great information. You're the best, man.
Thanks, Mike.
Thanks, guys. See you.
There you go. Mike Florio from his barn in West Virginia. We should have asked him about Torrey. I wonder if that's his local news down there, Chris.
Is he in Morgantown?
No,
like
I think he's down.
Is he down in Charleston Lake area? Because I think she was broadcasting from like Charleston area.
Yeah, but if you're in like Fairmont, do you get Charleston or do you get Morgantown TV? I don't know enough about the GI.
No, WSAZ is Huntington, so that's way down there. So
that's Marshall
country. You are not getting the same news that they're getting.
You know what that book sounds like it's perfect for, Donnie? Toilet reading.
I was just going to say short digestible essays. That's a toilet book.
That's a toilet book right there if I ever heard one.
Also, didn't he say he was scratching us off like we weren't getting one?
No, like, all right, got to send one off.
Oh, scratch that one. Yeah. I was going to ask for it for my birthday from you.
I mean, he confirmed not only just like giving us hope that Rudolph, that this is just like the type of gamesmanship and smoke and mirrors that goes on early in the offseason.
Although, how much are you really dealing from a position of strength if you're like, hey, but we are going with Mason here.
He backed up Dulac on something. He really thinks Rooney could get involved and tell Mike, you just said great things about Matt Canada. I don't give a damn. He's fired. But man, is that going to make Tomlin look bad, isn't it?
But at the same time, Rooney has been the one who seems to be okay with Tomlin continuing
to
consolidate power.
But why not sit Tomlin down before that press conference on Tuesday and say, hey, Mike, before you go up there and say anything about Matt Canada, we need to have an honest conversation about where this offense is going. And I'm not telling you right now we're firing him, but don't go overboard on this guy. Tomlin did go overboard.
Maybe Art Rooney sits down with him like now and says, you know what, I've had time to think about this and we might need to be reconsidering because I just watched all of these games back and I feel like I don't want to watch a football game.
Is this just an overt song about baseball? Do we know? Because we know Meatloaf was a baseball fan. Like, I think he was borderline, I'm not making this up, you can find articles about it. I think for a long time he was borderline obsessive about fantasy baseball.
I saw one thing, I just saw the headline, I did not dive into it. I guess
rest in peace, Meatloaf.
A person who writes for New Deadspin, which is about as good as New Coke usually, in most people's minds, said Meatloaf coached her like high school or her like little t-ball team, like the co-ed t-ball team. He just coached the team or something.
He didn't have any kids on it. He just wanted to.
Well, no, they like didn't have a coach, and he was like, I will coach. I won't take
coach
like
Meatloaf.
A little, yeah, I won't take a stipend. I think the story goes he debuted. I would do anything for love. He was singing it in the car. He would drive kids who didn't have a ride home. This is like a, I guess a
and instead of turning them. Radio on, he would just sing.
He would just belt out his hits.
Wow.
Meatloaf was my baseball coach.
How do you think he came up with the name Meatloaf for himself, Donnie? Is it one of those situations where you can't give yourself a nickname that somebody called him Meatloaf one day and he's like, Eureka, that's perfect.
I always thought of myself as just a dish of ground beef.
I don't know. I've never looked it up and I didn't look.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the pitch, hit, and run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.